Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast. For 48 hours.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Solo mission today for your boy, the best of every day. Now it is officially underway. It's Donnie Wrightside here. It's on the Sports Grid Network. It is Moneyline. Love to do this. 1 hour I got you for setting up a great weekend of sports, which does include now a game number 6 in the NBA between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but I do want to thank you guys for joining us today. So many people filling into the chat box already on Sports Grid On Demand on our YouTube channel. Aaron's in there, Kristen's in here, I'm in here, and also Darren. We'll have some fun with that. Any topics you got, bring them up in the lobby. Let's have some fun. We'll cheer it on, and we'll certainly get some shout-outs there. If you are watching us on the YouTube channel, fantastic, but there's so many other ways to watch and listen, which include SiriusXM channel 159 right here on SiriusXM. Come on now. It's what Sports Grid gets down. If you're watching us here on the app, the Sports Grid app, one of the best in the business, or even listening on sportsgridradio.com, it's the only way to do it. Get down, have some fun with your boy Donnie Wrightside here on Moneyline as a Friday. And as I stated, I am going to get to that Major League Baseball card. We'll try to hit every single game today. Some good pitching matchups. We were profitable yesterday. Had 4 total RBI props. Hit 2 of those at some pretty good numbers. I think every one of those was at least above a plus 150. So that was fun to watch it play out. Hopefully that continues tonight and we continue to press on. But you guys know when we start the shows here, specifically on a solo mission, the hot topics do come out sometimes of nowhere where you didn't expect to talk about something, but something might have popped up overnight. Nick, you know what? I got to talk about this. I got to see what the deal is. And from the first one I'm going to bring up is the NCAA tournament. Basketball, March Madness. 68 teams currently make it into the field. Used to be the field of 64, and then you had a little expansion there to the first 4 teams, and I don't have an issue with it. Do I enjoy the first 4 games? Not that much, because lower-level college basketball, like the MEACs, maybe the SWACs, you know, that enter into that, that's not entertaining basketball to me, or some of the SoCon teams, if you will. We like brand names for the most part, and that's usually what drives the needle. But having said that, part of the charm of the NCAA tournament is the simple fact that we do get the blue bloods in there, the big boys, and then we can put on a couple Cinderella glass slippers and have some of these teams try to knock off some of these David versus Goliath matchups, and we do enjoy that to somewhat. But I always say this, everybody loves an upset until it happens, then you realize you could have got 2 blue bloods in the next game, and you got St. Peter's, which was a good story a couple years ago. You get the point on that. It's teams that, like, all right, it's nice that you won, but you sort of ruined what could have been a great Sweet 16 or an Elite 8, right? Understanding that. But now, NCAA President Charlie Baker is saying that March Madness expansion could come as early as 2026. Which, again, by the way, 2026, does that mean this year? Because it's 2025, but technically 2026 is when the tournament does begin. So I don't know where that actually begins. Does that mean like for the 2026-2027 season? Or does that mean for 2026 as early as the calendar hits 2026? That's when the tournament is and that's when we expand. When people hear expansion, here's what I don't understand, right? Sometimes. We love sports. We love basketball. We love football. Some people love hockey. Some people love golf. And if you're saying to yourself, all right, well, if I really like this, isn't more better? But also understanding the point, what more actually means. Like in the NFL, like there were people like, oh, you're going to go to a seventh playoff team, an extra wild card? Like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want a triple header or what they do? What was it? The original triple header Saturday, triple header Sunday, which now I think is like two games on a Saturday, three on a Sunday, now a Monday night football game on wild card weekend. Like, what person out of their mind doesn't actually like that and actually invites more meaningful football late in the season with more teams a chance to actually get into the NFL playoffs? You can say the same thing, guys, when you take a look at, let's just say, college football. There are some idiots out there that'll say they enjoyed the BCS era when only two teams got in. That's ridiculous. Like, now that you have like the 12 teams in, do they expand it to 16 is now the question, because more teams playing more meaningful football late in the season. And some people, which incorrectly pointed out, oh, the NCAA regular season of football is now meaningless. No, it's actually meaningful. It was meaningless in the BCS era, because if you lost a game in September, you were out. You couldn't win a national championship. Now you can afford a loss, two losses there, and make it in. Maybe three losses in there and make it in to the college football playoff for a run to the championship, which means you are playing more meaningful football and better television products late in the season, because everybody, quote unquote, can still make it in. Now, when I look at the NCAA tournament, right, it is, we love the tournament, and it's great. It was, the field of 64, which again has expanded now to 68 teams. It's like, okay, that's fine. But now they're talking about, because they think it could be more money, and money is always the direction that all of these sports leagues, collegiate and professional, are sort of headed down. That's why the NFL plays overseas games, not because the players love it. It's because it's new markets that you can invade and make new money in. That's why they do it here. So again, Charlie Baker says, we've been talking about 72 or 76 teams now. Why don't we just make it happen? But here again, this is an argument for or against, but I'm just talking to the people listening right now. What is the difference? And why would you be so upset with, instead of having 68 teams, they raise it to 72 to add four more teams in there? Or they raise it to 76 there to add, let's just say, eight more teams, which would mean an extra few games in the first couple rounds of the tournament, which is what we love so much. All of those games on a Thursday, all of those games on a Friday. Then you get the round of 32 on Saturday and Sunday. The following week, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. The next week after that is the Final Four, and then that Monday night championship game. Like, what is the issue? That we just don't want change, even if we might enjoy the change? Because, like, most of the comments, like, I'm on the opposite side of this. Like, I don't care if they expand or not. It doesn't damage the goods of the tournament for me. But the people that are out here saying, you can't do this, it ruins it. What does it actually ruin? Because I'm going to turn the tide on this argument as well here in just a moment. Like, you're telling me an extra six teams ruins it because Iowa gets in, Nebraska gets in, Arizona State gets in. Like, how does that ruin the product here? If anything, the way the product already is, it is ruined, because we let trash can teams get in the 16 and 15 seeds when there's much better teams out there that could regularly blitz those 16 and 15s. But it's sort of that quote-unquote tradition that we like, where the 16 seed gets beat by 60 in game number one of the tournament, right? Isn't that tradition? Well, for me, I actually go the opposite way, guys. I don't mind the expansion. I don't care. But if you made me commissioner, you know where we go in the field of 68 right now? We go back to like 36 teams, 24 teams total. Isn't that better? Well, when? No, you're the 20. But why? You're eliminating a lot of bad basketball teams that have zero shot to win this. Isn't that always the goal? Because if we add more teams, we're watering it down. What if I told you it's already oversaturated and completely watered down? Well, why don't we just have the top 24 teams in the country start in March Madness and go toe-to-toe right off the bat? Isn't that better theater? Isn't that better TV? All really good games, all really good teams right away in the tournament. We don't have this filler where these buster teams, if you will, from mid-majors who don't deserve to be there but won their championship in their conference at the end of the season, only to get a 32.5-point spread hung on them in round number one. Isn't that a waste of time? You can argue that, right? Like, why do we do that? Why do we even need 64 teams? It should be half of that. That's the way I would go in that spot. But the thing is, I don't understand is why people are so passionate about it. It's going to ruin the tournament by adding six more teams? Stop it. More basketball games in March Madness ruins the tournament? And it might only be two, four, or six extra games that'll be played on, let's just say, a Thursday and or a Friday? or instead of the first four in Dayton, it's the first eight in Dayton, that'll completely ruin it for me, Donnie. I'll never watch another NCAA tournament again. That's madness. That's nonsense. Stop it. More basketball in March Madness is a good thing, people. Stop fighting this, man. Leave it alone. Let it happen if it does. If it doesn't, it's no big deal. It's your boy DRS. Let's get to some Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Good night last night for the plus money people out there, including myself, who absolutely love taking plus money RBI props. I had four of them that I gave out yesterday. The Nationals... Two of those guys, James Wood and C.J. Abrams. C.J. Abrams, it's a shame. He got a double in extra innings, but didn't get an RBI in that game when it seems like everybody was getting RBI there for the Nationals. He was plus 165. He lost. But I did have a plus 165 on James Wood, who cashed in his ticket, which was nice. So again, you bet plus 165 and plus 165, one of them wins. That's 0.65 there in your back pocket for going 1-1. You love to see that. The other game I had was the Tampa Bay Rays, which I did like that team total over 3.5. It was a little bit expensive, minus 140, minus 145. They cruised over that number. They scored 13 times yesterday, the Rays. But I did have two RBI props, which, again, I probably should have cashed in both. But I lost Brandon Lowe at a plus 175 price, but I hit Jonathan Aranda at a plus 180 price. So again, plus 175 out of plus 80 matched up, plus 180 matched up, you get 0.8 in your pocket. So there you go. You went 2-2 overnight, but still cleared over a unit, almost a unit and a half. That's how you do it. That's a lot of fun, and that's the way you cheer it on. So today, we're going to do a lot of the same things by picking out some of those batters that we like and certainly trying to look at some of those pitchers that we certainly do not want to fade. The best pitchers on the card today, there's a couple of them, and we have, it looks like, 15 pitchers with a 99 xFIP minus or less on the season so far. A lot of those guys with some pretty good ERAs to top it off. The best pitcher on the card by far, maybe the marquee game or series of the weekend, that's going to be the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers, maybe one of those previews into the World Series. Max Fried's on the mound today, and how about this? An xFIP minus of 78. And again, just in simple terms, 100 is your baseline there. If you're a pitcher, anything below that, you are above market grade. He's at a 78. That's great. How about his ERA on the season, guys? A 1.29. And a xFIP number that's the best on the card today at 3.20. He's been everything short of spectacular. Chris Bassett's way up there as well with a 3.22 xFIP number and an xFIP minus number of 79. Framber Valdez, Brian Wu, Matthew Liberatore, David Peterson, Merrill Kelly, Nick Pivetta, Casey Mize, Kyle Freeland, Jose Soriano, Luis Ortiz, Lucas Giolito, as well as Mitch Keller and Seth Lugo. Those are the 15 pitchers there that are pitching above grade so far on the season. Now, some of those guys, like Lucas Giolito, he has a 96 xFIP minus, but a 5.27 ERA.
See how some of those analytical numbers sort of creep in there. Kyle Freeland, he's got a 92 xFIP minus and a 5.86 ERA. Why? Pitches a lot of his games at Coors Field, so he sort of gets a bump on that, if you will. But those are the pitchers that we're probably going to stay away from unless we get some elite batters going up against them. Shout out to the chat box there. Vic Ferrari just tapped in here. So a lot of people sharing, a lot of fun out here, having some fun for this weekend. It's a Friday. It's great, right? You are so close to the weekend, you can feel it. And at least the NBA is going to give us a little bit of a help on Saturday night with the Pacers game against the New York Knicks, which they can help us out even more next week. So we don't have to wait almost a full week, it feels like, for the NBA Finals to start. Give us a Monday game number 7 between the Knicks and the Pacers from the Garden. I mean, again, if you're betting on the Pacers to win game number 6, which I do think they win and close out, maybe you can still get a game number 7 there so you can cry your eyes away on your losing ticket, but say, you know what? Got a chance to bet again with another game on Monday night that it typically wouldn't have, as you would wait until Thursday for the NBA Finals to start. All right, game number 1 today, guys. That's Cincinnati and that's Chicago. Reds and the Cubs from Wrigley Field. 74-degree temperatures, which, boy, that seems like a breath of fresh air. It felt like every game this weekend, last week, that we talked about that was in Chicago was 55 degrees with rain and 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing in. Nice to see. 74-degree temperatures, wind blowing out sort of to right field, about 8 miles per hour. Hitting weather, thank you. Pitcher on the mound today for the Cincinnati Reds is Andrew Abbott. And on the season for Andrew Abbott, on the card today, he's 19th. Out of 28 pitchers at a 103 xFIP minus number. Look at his ERA, guys. 1.77, but his xFIP number is a 4.08. Something has to give. Now you look at Abbott on the season, a 122 ISO power number against the last 30 days. That drops to an 074. The weighted on base percentage on the season for Abbott, a 280, which is very good. The last 30 days, a 273. That drops down. His strikeout percentage is 24% over the past 30 days. On the season, it's 27%. Now, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Nico Horner, and Justin Turner all have elevated numbers against left-handed pitchers. But just for the sake of an argument, probably not going to play anything in this game because Abbott has been good, and I just need to see a trail of he's about to get detonated, even though we are looking at his underlying numbers and saying, hey, Donnie, something has to give at this point. Because if Andrew Abbott is that low of an ERA at 1.77, but that xFIP number is higher, he's going to get hit around. Everybody gets hit around, right? Zach Wheeler never gets hit around. See what happened yesterday against the Atlanta Braves? Yeah, he got hit around. It's Major League Baseball. It happens. So maybe that day is today. I'm just not betting it back on this day. That's all. If we flip it over to the other side for the Cincinnati offense, Colin Ray is on the mound. Now, Colin Ray for the season has a 100 xFIP minus and an ERA that's manageable at 3.28, a 3.97 xFIP for him. But if you look at the last 30 days, those numbers are starting to get higher based on what he's given up to batters. For the season, he's faced 193 batters, a ISO power number of 131 against, really good. A weighted on base percentage of 309, still above average for a pitcher. But the last 30 days, which include 117 batters against, that 131 ISO turns into a 184. ISO power number. That weighted on base percentage of 309 turns into a 350. And lefties, which he's really held down as a right-handed pitcher for the season in its totality, has started to leak some oil over the past 30 days. His last 63 batters he faced as lefties, how about a 204 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 361? Now, let me just do a little bit of checking here because Colin Ray obviously is the home pitcher going up against the Reds. Let's see what we got here. So we'll go. He spells last. I always get it mixed up. R-E-A. There we go. So there's Colin. Let's go to his splits. And if we take a look on the season, a 340 weighted on base percentage in totality to lefties, he's done much better against righties. Home is weighted on base percentage is 300, which isn't bad. Home versus lefties is only a 294 to righties. That's a 307. On the road, he's really been clipped. But again, it's not going to be on the road today. He's pitching at home in Chicago. If we are looking, though, here's the difference that I wanted to bring up. March and April, a 247 weighted on base percentage against. In May, that's up to a 353. And those xFIP numbers on the season, 425 to lefties, much lower to righties. That could change some things. Do I think we get a play out of this? Maybe an RBI. We'll be back. We'll talk about it more right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Doing a little extra research, guys, over the break. By the way, we might have something here in this first game. I'm glad we hit it because, you know, temperatures again close to 75 degrees. Love to see that in Chicago. There is a wind. It's more of a left foul pole to right foul pole wind in Chicago, but still slightly blowing out to right field more than, let's just say, just a crosswind. That's 8 miles per hour. But the reason I wanted to talk about this game a little bit more is we were going over some of those Colin Ray numbers for the past 30 days, and his xFIP numbers are certainly higher than the full season, and also his weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers have risen here over the past 30 days. Let's focus on this game just a little bit more. If you look at Ray, as I told you, some of those seasonal statistics, you know, on the season, 93 total batters he's faced from the right side, a 114 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 280 against. That's really good. K rate could be a little bit higher. We get it. Doesn't give out a lot of free passes in the way of walks. But that 114 for the season turns into a 163, which again isn't crazy high, right? Like you still would like to see that to be a little bit higher if you're saying, okay, that's a definite play on a right-handed batter. But that 280 weighted on base percentage turns into a 337 over the past 30 days. And then we talked about the left-handed batters, a 148 ISO for the season. Last 30 days, that's now 204. That's in the danger zone. You take a look at the weighted on base percentage of lefties on the season is 336. Over the past 30 days, that goes up to 361. Now look at the lineup today for the Cincinnati Reds, which is official. TJ Friedel, 74 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the last month. How about a 441 weighted on base percentage and a low K rate? Ellie De La Cruz, who again is a switch hitter, he'll be batting from the left side against right-handed pitching over the past month. How about a 304 ISO and a 416 weighted on base percentage? Gavin Lux, who's a left-handed batter, he'll be batting right behind Ellie De La Cruz, and he's got 70 at-bats in against right-handed pitching. Not great numbers. A low ISO power number, but a 310, which is basically an average weighted on base percentage. Will Benson, 46 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month. He's at a 450 ISO and a 468 weighted on base percentage and a low K rate. Jake Fraley in the 8-hole today, left-handed batter. Now, granted, only 13 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, but Jake's got a 300 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 389 and a low K rate. So if we're lining up the weighted on base percentage hitters that just, and forget about just lefty and righty splits here, Friedel is above average. Ellie De La Cruz is above average. Let's say Gavin Lux is average. That's three batters. Spencer Steer is above average. That's four. Will Benson is five. Stevenson is under. And Jake Fraley is six. So you have six of the nine batters with a pretty good usage right here against right-handed pitching over the past month and good statistics there in the way of weather conditions with 74, 75 degrees and a wind blowing out to right field. Now, as I told you, Colin Wright on the season, much better than the last 30 days. But really, we want to focus on how the pitchers and how the batters are doing over the past month, more weight than what they did to start the season out. So if we look at Colin Ray on the last 30 days, how about a 114 xFIP minus, which is elevated? How about an ERA for Colin Ray of 4.82, which is elevated? How about a weighted on base, xFIP number for him at 4.54? Which is much different than what he's been doing, let's just say, in his splits over the first part of the season, which if we line that up, because I just told you, he's pretty far down on the 30-day card. It says Colin Ray is actually 10th on the card at around 30 pitchers if you use the full season. See that? That 100, which goes up to 114. Everything is increased on Colin Ray from the first part of the season into the month of May. So I go over to Bet365 and say, you know what? The team total is pretty cheap today for the Cincinnati Reds. It's at 3.5 at a minus 120 price. I think that's worth a play. Because the one thing that also, which people ask me a lot of questions, like, well, how do you handle a team that sets up really well? And you say, it's hard because you would love to bet RBI props today. And if you were looking from a Reds perspective, just to give you a little food for thought, like Friedel makes some sense. Ellie De La Cruz makes some sense. Will Benson makes some sense. Jake Fraley makes some sense. But what doesn't make sense is, you know, taking four batters to get RBI and hoping two of them hit in the same game. Like I usually like to say, okay, let me take the two best batters in the lineup today, which theoretically based on numbers, you would just go Ellie De La Cruz and Will Benson and say, let me split those RBI. And that's the way to do it. But then you know where you get upset with? When TJ Friedel ends up with three RBIs and you didn't take them. When Jake Fraley ends up with an RBI double with two outs and you didn't take them. So I think that 3.5 at a minus 120 as a little afternoon excursion here for the Cincinnati Reds, I think that makes some sense here. And I think that's a pretty good price because usually you're trying to walk into what, fours, 4.5s, 5.5s at plus money numbers. 3.5 in a game in Chicago
that doesn't really worry about rain or, like, you know, temperature conditions or wind, that's not a bad price. Reds over 3.5 at minus 120. I think we might have to play that a little bit here. See that? One game up, one game down, one game that looks like it could be profitable. Your boy Donnie writes out here. Solo Mission continues next right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right back at it here. The best hour of your day, people. You know what it is. It's Moneyline here. Getting through this Major League Baseball card, game number one on the card. Cincinnati and Chicago. I think it's worthwhile. Make a little wager on a 3.5 over at a minus 120 price at bet365. And then we'll get to the afternoon card, the only game left on the afternoon card. That's the Chicago White Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. Now, we do have some rain in the forecast in this game, but 75-degree temperatures and about an 8-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to left field. So much better, so much warmer than we've been seeing over the past couple weeks in baseball. If we line this one up, I'm seeing Jared Schuster on the mound. Let me just make sure we're not getting any openers here between any of these. Oh, we are. See that? It's exactly why I went to it. So Schuster is going to open for Burke, who's a bad pitcher, going up against Zach Eflin. Again, rain in the forecast, and it looks like kind of interesting where it has this listed. Like, it goes 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 2 p.m. So I don't know if this game is going to have thunderstorms, because in the Northeast, where I'm at, in southern New Jersey, it's got a lot of rain, but later on tonight, maybe that's some of the rain that's going to hit them earlier, because it's a shame. Because you look at this game, and again, a 4:30 start, which I don't know if it impacts it, because it looks like it doesn't early in the day. But if we get to 5 o'clock, I guess, the rain starts to come in, which is always a red flag. And I'm not a conspiracy guy. Well, sometimes I am. I can't lie. But when you see a game, guys, right, where Major League Baseball understands this, hey, we have a window that opens around 4:30, which it's not really going to be raining, and then it increases as the night goes on, because I think this thing just has it backwards. 2 p.m., 5% chance of rain. But again, the game doesn't start till 4:30. 3 p.m., 17% chance of rain. 4 p.m., 21% chance of rain, which is right around the start time. 5 o'clock, 43%. 6 o'clock, 69%. 7 o'clock, 76%. 8 o'clock, 80%. You get the picture, right? It's going to be raining later. So if this game starts at 4:30, when do they want this game to get over? No later than like 6 o'clock. It's a shame, too, because I look at that lineup, and there's a couple guys in Baltimore that I do like in this game, and even some of those guys, because Zach Eflin hasn't been all that great as of late, to be honest. And Zach Eflin on the card today, let me see what he's got here. Let's see what he got, Zach Eflin. Where does he come out? I have 29 pitchers listed. Sean Burke's the worst, which is why he's getting an opener today, because he can't get anybody out. And Zach Eflin is 26. It's like the perfect game just to take a total. But the fact is, I just told you, if thunderstorms are in the forecast, which means it might have rain delays, or they might have to just hurry it up and the game ends after 6 innings, it's a shame, because it feels like we're burning one of the better games on the card today, and I can't stand that. Like, that hurts right there. That really hurts. Talkman, Vargas, Palacios all make some sense in that lineup, which very rarely any sense gets made here. But lefties, by the way, they can't hit lefties in Baltimore, which is why the opener's there for Schuster. Look at it. If this game was pitched entirely by a lefty going up against this Orioles offense, Adley Rutschman has a 316 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 492. Outside of that, everybody's ISO power number is horrendous. Now, O'Hearn and Urias do have some decent weighted on base percentage numbers, but that's why it's tough. I'm going to have to leave this game off of my card, even though I'm going to be home later today going like, man, it's 5:30, and this game is already 4-3 in the third inning, and get upset by that with multiple RBI props. But does anybody else have that same sort of theory where when there's rain in the forecast, baseball knows it, so do the umpires, and that pitch that might be a ball turns into a strike, never works in the direction? Am I saying every game goes that way? No. But when I have a thought process in my head, it's hard to get it out. And sometimes when I see that, I'm like, I don't know if that's possible. Like, I don't know if that's what we should be doing at this point, right? So there it is. All right, let's continue over this here. Let's go Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Again, some rain in the forecast here for the Philadelphia Phillies game. Let me just go down and see if we have some team by team. Okay, here we go. 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Yeah, it gets worse as the night goes on here in Philadelphia, which again is another tough one. D.L. Hall is going to be an opener today for Quinn Priester. So another opener that's a lefty that's going to try to shut down the early lefties in the lineup. We'll see if it goes. Am I in love with that? Is Quinn Priester a bad pitcher? By the way, is Priester listed on my numbers here? Yeah, he is. He's 24th on the card. So again, can it please just stop? Like, I'm not an advocate of getting dome stadiums in Major League Baseball. I like the elements. I like to go watch a baseball game in the spring and the summer. That's what you sign up for. But my goodness, man. Talking about games that you might be able to get some elevation on some of these players to hammer away that we're getting this and the rain in the forecast here. I don't think we've seen the sun in southern New Jersey in a week, it feels like, at this point now. My goodness. Enough with this. But I would love to fade Quinn Priester. Like, Priester's a right-handed pitcher. Let me go Phillies against righties. Weighted on base percentage that are high. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper if he's back in the lineup. Kyle Schwarber, Alec Bohm, JT Realmuto, Weston Wilson. See where I'm going here? You can absolutely hammer Priester. Let me bring up Priester's numbers here. Where are you at, Mr. Priester? Let's see. I'm going to go all the way down the list here. Rogers, Connors. There we go. Quinn Priester. Left-handed batters are smashing Quentin Priester. Like, Quinn Priester against a lefty, which if Harper's in the lineup, he might go yard after getting knocked in the elbow the other day against Spencer Strider. Schwarber's off the charts. Like, a Schwarber bomb today makes a ton of sense. If you dance between the raindrops with 73 degree temperatures that are blowing out. Oh, that hurts, man. If you hear the deep breath right now. Like, that feels like the Philadelphia Phillies should run roughshod over Milwaukee, but we don't know if we're getting this game played in its entirety because of how much rain is expected in the forecast a little bit later tonight. And the thunderstorms aren't the type that's like, hey, you know what? It might drizzle a little bit. You can get by. Like, avalanching thunderstorms with inches of rain. Yeah, that's rain out type scenarios. Or a game played late into the night where you're handicapping based on a starting pitcher. Those starting pitchers are long gone at that point. It stinks that Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Chicago and Baltimore probably aren't going to be on the card because of the weather conditions that we have. Vic Ferrari, same here in Indy, Donnie. It won't stop raining. It rains all the time, man. It rains all the time. Enough with this. I thought it was April showers brings May flowers. Not May rain cancels all the game, right? Come on, man. Stop it. Athletics in Toronto. Yesterday, a complete whitewashing for the Blue Jays over the Athletics. Today, 66-degree temperatures. We might have the roof open in Toronto, which isn't a bad thing. Jeffrey Springs is on the mound. And for Jeffrey Springs on the season, he's 27th out of 29 pitchers on the card today with a 118 xFIP minus and an ERA of close to 4 with an xFIP of 4.75. Now, he's a lefty. On his charts, quote-unquote, he has a lot of action on him against left-handed batters over the past 30 days. Here's the problem. There won't be any left-handed batters in the lineup tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays, as it turns out. Official cards out? No, it's not. But they're just having the estimates here, all righties. Now, over the past 30 days, Jeffrey Springs to righties. He's got a 131 ISO and a 208 weighted on base percentage. But let's get into some of those numbers here on Mr. Springs. Let's see if we can make these work in our direction. As I told you, the non-analytical numbers, like the ISO and the weighted on base percentage per se, that's what actually happened there. Analytical numbers we use as more of a projection as to what is going to happen at this point. So let's go to the splits here for Jeffrey Springs on the season. To lefties, a weighted on base percentage of 310, which is good. To righties, that drops to a 299. That's even better. Home weighted on base percentage, and here's the key kicker of why we like to try these out with these numbers. Home, he's got a 353 weighted on base percentage. Sacramento, that ballpark plays like an absolute bandbox, just knocking balls out left and right. When he gets on the road, Jeffrey Springs, 33 innings pitched on the season, he's at a 252 weighted on base percentage, which is really good. The road numbers here against lefties is a 336. The road for the righties is a 229 weighted on base percentage. See that? Like, he's a lefty going up against all righties and has been very good against right-handed batters throughout the season, except being at home where out in Sacramento, good luck with that. So let me scroll down here. See if we can find something else. March and April, his weighted on base percentage was 352. That's high. May, that dropped to a 244. See that? So now you're saying, all right, I don't know if I can bend very many of these rules here today. On his xFIP for the season, a 540 against lefties, which again, it's not going to face any lefties. To righties, it is elevated a little bit at 4.59. Tough decisions to make here. I don't know if we're going to find anything for the Jays. We'll keep digging, people, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Unless I'm fasting for 36 hours. Because that resets your whole, like, everything. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Like and subscribe.
Andy Capital Moneyline, you know how we do, people. And we're starting here with the New York Mets and the Colorado Rockies, 7 o'clock tonight from New York. And again, East Coast, you always have to check the weather conditions. Let me slide it down to see what we have. Not really any rain in the forecast, but it does say here, but actually, there is rain later on. Same thing in Philadelphia. Like, nothing really to start, per se. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, all have rain in the forecast. Peterson versus Freeland. So, another game, I hate to say, really much going to be off of my chart. And again, David Peterson is a lefty. Also, you take a look at Freeland, who is a lefty. Peterson on the card today, sixth overall, with an 88 xFIP minus on the season. Not really a guy you want to fade going up against a lineup that really can't hit all that well. And then if you take a look at Colorado, Kyle Freeland, he's got a high ERA, but a low xFIP, or excuse me, xFIP minus of 92. xFIP 3.63 on the season. So even if you love that game, there's nothing great there. San Francisco, Miami, hallelujah. Don't have to worry about any weather conditions in Miami, because if there is rain, they'll close that bad boy in. It's a retractable dome, but it's 84 degrees tonight with a 10-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to left field. Now, that's not bad, but let me see, Marlins, I think it's Lone Depot Park. The one thing I do appreciate, though, is in Arizona that they tell you when the roof is open and not open. So let me just see if I can go Lone Depot Park while we have it. Lone Depot Park. Miami, roof. Let's see if they let us in on a little bit here. Is the roof open or closed? Shows engineering marvel, how it's structured, how it was built. Roof updates. Want to know if the roof will be open or closed? Roof status news and updates a couple hours prior to every home game right on at Lone Depot Park X feed. Click here. Let's click there. Let's see what we got here. When was the roof opened or closed? Lone Depot Park roof status closed. Now, is that just for Marlin Man, blah, 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 blah? I don't know if that's today, but it says closed. And again, the roof should be open unless there's rain. Case in point, end of story. So let's just go, it's closed, which again, we'll deal with it here. Kyle Harrison listed as the starting pitcher here on the mound tonight. And Kyle Harrison, let me see if I can find San Francisco up and down this chart. I don't have him listed here. Let me just make sure. Let's go over. All right, so we got the Mets and the Marlins. Harrison versus Quantrill. We know we always like to fade Quantrill. We'll get to him in just a second. But Harrison on the season, only 37 batters he's faced. So I have this listed as 10 minimum innings, which he does not have. So tough to get a gauge on what the Miami Marlins are going to be able to do. So we'll skip them. Let's go to San Francisco. Cal Quantrill is on the mound. And on the season for our guy Cal Quantrill, he's 25th on the card today out of 29 pitchers, a 114 xFIP minus, an ERA over 6, and an xFIP of 4.53. So let's go deeper into the numbers here for our guy Cal, because that's a guy that we've certainly pulled on quite a few times to get hammered. If we go to the splits here on Fangraphs, he is a right-handed pitcher. Not struggling with lefties, but struggles with righties to the tune of a 444 weighted on base percentage on the season. Home, his total weighted on base percentage, even in that big ballpark, which is a great pitcher's ballpark, that's a 361. But if we look at home to lefties, it's 247. Home to righties, guys, 503. Even on the road, a 405. You take a look, though. Here's the interesting part. March and April, he got torched. In the month of May, only a 265 weighted on base percentage. Let's get that sort of broken down here. Let's see if we can find something here. Home to lefties, a 432 XFIP number. And if we break that down, home to lefties, it's a 366. Home to righties, 546. So there you go. So right-handed batters will be the side that we go with here. And it looks like, and again, we're not playing these then, definitely. Just have something to write down for later. Giants batters, I will be interested tonight. That's Ramos. Sitting at a 258 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 443. Wilmer Flores has a 354 weighted on base percentage against righties over the past month. And Matt Chapman. So we got three batters. Ramos, Flores, and Chapman as possibilities where Quantrill gets smashed by right-handed pitching. He just does. It's what he does. So that's something there. Nothing on the Miami side. Something maybe on the San Francisco side. Angels, Cleveland. That's at Cleveland 7:10 tonight. 65-degree temperatures. Again, not great, but not terrible. Wind blowing out to right field. Okay, we'll buy that. Jose Soriano is on the mound today for the Los Angeles Angels. And Jose, where is he checking in for us today? Where are you at, Jose? He must be in the middle. Yeah, he is. 11th at a 92 xFIP minus and an ERA of 3.73. Good numbers against lefties and righties, but a low K rate, which means the ball could possibly be in play. Get a good-looking lineup tonight. Kwan, Naylor, Ramirez, Manzardo, Santana, and Schneeman all have elevated ISO power numbers and weighted on-base percentages, for the most part, against right-handed pitching. If we take a look at LA side, Luis Ortiz will be on the mound for Cleveland. He's been struggling against lefties this year. And by the way, welcome back tonight, Mike Trouty. Did Trout play last night? Hold on. I'm seeing two at-bats here. What did he do? Why am I seeing two at-bats? Oh, it goes back a month, which is almost exactly for what he missed. Okay, so Trout back into the lineup tonight, anticipated high weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching, but the lefties of where you want to focus on. Chanuel, 386 weighted on base percentage. Yoan Moncada is ripping the cover. You know what? He's going to get it right down immediately here. Moncada for the Angels. But the Angels do got some power bats in that lineup. A lot of high strikeouts. But the lefty side is where you want to come correct with, because Ortiz is a right-handed pitcher doing very well against right-handed bats. Lefties, though, a 226 ISO over the past 64 bats he's had. And Moncada's crushing the base for right now. Ward's got good statistics, but he's a righty, sort of trying to avoid that. So Moncada might make some sense there for the Angels a little bit later. Just a little bit. It's hard because I just told you Cleveland against Soriano. Let me just see what he's doing, because I'm trying to extend this when I shouldn't be doing that, which means the numbers that are popping up aren't looking advantageous for Soriano. But I just want to make sure maybe if he has a crazy high, let's just say XFIP number, which you just can't turn a blind eye to, his weighted on base percentages are pretty good. Road splits, pretty good for him as well. Month of May, weighted on base percentage against a 319, which is right about average. His XFIP numbers to lefties 408, righties 336. The away splits, yeah, there's nothing there. There's nothing there on Soriano, even though Cleveland has some really good bats in that lineup here. We got one more segment to go. We're probably going to speedball through a lot of these games just to see if we have something that could be advantageous that we can use. A couple good stuff, which includes that early game this afternoon, the Cincinnati Reds and their team total. Let's lock it down next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's speed through this card here to try to get some of these games through, and that would be Atlanta and Boston. Just trying to find here. Lucas Giolito, 13th on the card today. High ERA number. Lower XFIP numbers for him. That is Ronald Acuna, Drake Baldwin, Marcell Ozuna, Matt Olson as positive batters in that lineup. I always liked the first two guys in that lineup. Kind of interesting to me. Ronald Acuna, obviously, so talented there. Coming back with a fever pitch. Home runs, RBIs, you get that. Drake Baldwin, the catcher, due to bat second tonight. I've liked him on the season. Low K-rate guy, puts the ball in play, doesn't walk a lot, which is great if you like hitter props or RBI props. He's got a 211 ISO and a 442 weighted on base percentage over his last 39 at-bats against right-handed pitching. So some of those Braves might make some sense here. Giolito, not a terrible pitcher. Grant Holmes on the opposite side. Maybe look at Jaron Duran, Rafael Devers in that lineup, Willier Abreu as some lefties, and also Abraham Toro. That is a sneaky chance to go over. 70-degree temperatures down in Atlanta with a 9-mile-an-hour wind blowing out, something to certainly circle back to once we see the final listed lineups. Matthew Liberatore on the mound tonight going up against the Texas Rangers. Not going to fade him. He's got some pretty good statistics. He's fifth on the card today out of 29 pitchers. Jack Leiter on the opposite side is 28th out of 29 pitchers on the card today. A 126 xFIP minus. An ERA not horrible at 4.17, but that xFIP number at 5.06. He's really struggled over the past month against left-handed hitters. The only problem is you don't have great left-handed hitters in the lineup tonight for the Cardinals. Alec Burleson, probably the best of it. But you know my guy Mason Winn. Love that guy. Hits out of the two-hole. He's probably going to get a base knock today. But not a lot of love in that game, per se. Casey Mize on the mound today for the Detroit Tigers, taking on Seth Lugo. That is the Royals and the Tigers. Good-looking lineup tonight for the Tigers overall. You'd lean towards the left-handed bats, Curry Carpenter, Colt Keith, Riley Green, and Wenceel Perez, even though he only has limited at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month. The Kansas City Royals on the other side went up against Casey Mize. I don't really know if there's going to be a ton of success. Mize, ninth on my pitching card today at a 2.45 ERA and a 91 xFIP minus. The usual suspects, right? Mikel Garcia, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt. Maybe worth a look, but I'm not going to be going in that direction tonight. Ryan Pepiot on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays, who put a 13 spot up yesterday against the Houston Astros, going up against Framber Valdez. Not a lot of love in that lineup on either side. Mitch Keller on the mound today for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's around halfway down the card today, but a 97 xFIP minus and a decent ERA. Lefties have gotten the best of Mitch Keller this season. Louis Rise pops up there. Jackson Merrill pops up. My guy Gavin Sheets and Jake Cronenworth. Something to keep an eye on, but these games are late night tonight, 9:40 or later. So some plenty of time, I should say, to digest those statistics and when we see those starting lineups. Nick Pivetta, who was sensational to start the season, starting to leak a little bit of oil, particularly to lefty and righty batters. You know O'Neill Cruz always pops up on the card right away as the leadoff batter. That might be an option to look at a little bit later this evening. Jake Irvin, the right-handed pitcher here for the Washington Nationals, is going to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's 23rd on the card today at a 112 xFIP minus number and an xFIP number of 4.45. Lineup always looks good for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Irvin's the righty, has struggled the lefties. You know the lefties in that lineup. It's a drill, man, right? Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Josh Naylor. Those are the guys that you're really focused on to start. Merrill Kelly on the opposite side. He's been really good this season. I love James Wood. Cashed in a ticket for me last night at an RBI. I love CJ Abrams. Just don't know if we're going to be able to go back to the well for them tonight. Yankees and the Dodgers, 10-10 start on the West Coast, 75-degree temperatures in Los Angeles at first pitch, a light wind blowing out, but Max Fried has been nothing short of sensational. Here's the interesting thing. We reviewed this game on the early line, a 9 in this game. Going to take 10 to beat you with these two pitchers, which again, Fried has been sensational. Tony Gonsolin, not so much and a little bit leaky to left-handed batters. Trent Grisham, Cody Bellinger returning back home, Jason Dominguez. We're probably looking in that game, guys, from a Yankees perspective and left-handed batters to try to get the job done. Last game we'll talk about tonight, that's Minnesota and it's Seattle from Seattle. Seattle got trumped in extra innings yesterday, but we did make a little bit money on the RBI props from the Nationals yesterday as we just went over. Zebby Matthews on the mound, not much to go off of here. So looking at the lineup, just saying for the Mariners, oh, Don, I'm just going to take Polanco and Raleigh, and it works out usually, and it technically does. But if we're just being honest and looking at statistical numbers, doesn't really make too much sense to take that one. Brian Wu on the opposite side, top five pitcher on my card today, an 82 xFIP minus and a 240 ERA matched up with a 3.36 xFIP. So nothing going to be on the docket late night there for Minnesota and Seattle. So some games to keep an eye on once again. New York and Los Angeles, more from a New York perspective. Arizona side of things, you know, San Diego, Pittsburgh. There's a couple guys on San Diego that we like tonight here. Nothing really too much there on Tampa Bay in Houston. And that's really the night card. So keep in mind, maybe you want to get down this afternoon. 3.5 is a team total over on those Reds. Chris behind the wheels of steel with your boy Downey Right Side. See you Monday. Enjoy your weekend.